Good morning. You've tuned into The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and Jim Healy is here across from me. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jack. And in the studio with us is Olivia Fee. Olivia is the curator and a curator and outreach coordinator for the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, and she's going to talk with us today about a new exhibit. Good morning, Olivia.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this exhibit, and it's coming up quick here.
Real quick, as soon as we can see our way out of the fog.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
The fog.
Ah, the fog, yes. It is a little foggy out there.
Foggy.
And it was frosty this morning, at least out at my house. I had a little white.
Did you have to scrape your windows on your, did you pedal?
I didn't pedal. Okay. I probably will later. I will probably take the car home, bring my bike back. But I I went out early, turned on the car. And then by the time I went out, it was all ready to go. Mm-hmm. That's my preferred way of doing it. I don't really like the sound of a scraper going running through the ice on a.
And if you don't have a scraper, you use a credit card. I've done that before.
Yeah. Let's see. So we've had a dense freezing fog this morning. Yeah.
That's a winning combination.
But it should warm up. And today, I think, is the real peach in the basket for the week.
Say what?
This is going to be the nicest day. That's what I think. It's going to be sunny.
The peach? Is that a Minnesotan thing?
No, it's that would be from Georgia, probably. Okay. I don't know. Today is what I'm saying is going to be nice. It's going to be a high of 44 once this fog lifts and partly sunny. Pretty calm. And then tonight, the low gets down to 32, and it will become overcast, and then an 80% chance of precipitation, rain or snow.
Here in town, possibility of snow?
That's what it says.
Are you ready for that, Olivia?
No.
It's going to happen, right?
Yeah, but if it could wait till Monday when I get my snow tires on, that would be ideal.
Ah,
yeah. Well,
Talk with the leather gods about that.
Yeah.
Do you have an appointment, or you're just planning to do it?
I have an appointment.
Nice.
Okay, cool.
Hard to come by.
Yeah.
Those appointments.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
No snow till Monday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rain likely, though, on Friday. 60% chance of rain tomorrow. Tomorrow night, an 80% chance of precipitation. The low down to 34 degrees, and that will be rain or a rain-snow mix. And I always think that snow can't happen till it's 32 degrees, but I guess it can. Becomes snow higher up,
and by the time it gets down
still
here,
it's
sort of like wet.
Yeah, like wet snow. A rain-snow mix.
Yeah, there you go.
Saturday is Veterans Day. 90% chance of precipitation on Veterans Day. Rain or snow. High of 43. Then hopefully drying off a little bit. It looks like the high is 47 on Sunday and a 30% chance of rain. And that's about as far as it goes. Everything else in the forecast says rain likely.
I've got leaves to rake.
And I know.
I do not like raking wet leaves.
It's terrible. And I keep waiting for them to dry out a little bit.
Please.
And I don't know. I don't know that we're going to get it.
We might not. We do have the weather for Washington, D.C. area, as I try to do every Thursday morning. I have a sister and brother-in-law who live in Arlington, and they have a little canister of Alexa in their kitchen, and they say, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and ta-da, here we are. So just a shout-out to Weatherford, D.C. area, 60 now, high of 75, expected, bright and sunny. She says, last nice day before dropping into highs of 50 degrees this next week. Oh, 50 degrees.
Boo-hoo. Oh,
yeah. Oh, are we shedding a tear for them? I don't think so.
Could I have maybe I'll hold off on this for a second.
What?
Could I have a drum roll, please?
Okay.
Thank you. I hold in my hand the KRFY weather station. Yes.
Hold it up to the mic so people can see.
So if we go off of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, it's 30 degrees here in Sandpoint right now. But I don't think that's correct. Not exactly, because I think that's at the Sandpoint Airport. And it's and they only update that every 15, 20 minutes or something like that.
Okay.
And I think our listeners deserve to know, to the tenth of a degree, how warm or cold it is outside right this minute.
But you're holding it in your hand inside the studio here.
Well, that's true. And it doesn't have batteries in it yet. But
Okay.
I'm going, I think we're
Where are
gonna,
you going to put it?
I was kind of thinking in the alley, because then it doesn't get the, you know,
The direct sunlight. And the direct things like and, that.
Yeah, that's my thought anyway.
Do you put it someplace so it doesn't get thefted?
Yeah, I guess I'll have to put it up high or something. Mm. Well, I'll
There might
it.
Be a tall thief.
That's true.
Oh. Nothing is ever simple. But that is
I'll
so cool.
Can somewhere.
You put it up on a roof?
I could. But then do you think it will be...
Ooh, it would get the The sun.
Yeah. And, I feel like the roof is hotter.
Yeah.
Than,
with the whatever it is up there, that the tar or something like that. Well, that is cool. So we are giving our listeners exactly what they deserve and need.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it works and we'll find out. I have batteries.
Batteries first.
Yeah.
Batteries first. Well, what fun. And so do we have a thingy here in the studio that we can read it from?
Yes. Okay. So there'll be. Okay. Probably I'll set it like right here. We'll have to put a sticker on it or something so the rest of the DJs know about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, Olivia?
I think that's great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. We can go forward.
We should probably auction off the naming rights for it in
give it a name
in the December. You know, the December.
Fundraising, fun drive, and whatever.
Yeah.
I understand, Jack, that you have family listening.
I do. Just like you have in Washington, D.C., my family is listening. Probably, I think my mother is, I was going to say flat on her back, but I think she's actually on her side.
Okay. Why is that?
Recovering from some surgery. She got a detached retina. Which requires emergency eye surgery. She had to cancel all her travel plans for the next 2 months. She found out about it like the day before her birthday and then spent her birthday trying to do errands that she could have it the day after her birthday. But the surgery went well. And now, from what I understand, she has to stay like completely motionless for like a week.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, she has to lay on her side or on her stomach. She can't look up and she has to hold that position for all but 10 minutes per hour. So she can move around then she can go to the bathroom or get a bite to eat, but then
really?
She has to lie back down and hold that for a week.
Does she have a big patch over her eye?
I bet she does. I haven't seen a picture yet. I don't think she's going to send any.
Oh,
we'll
wow.
See.
Well,
anyway, but If she was able to get to the computer today, I bet she's listening to us right now. Best wishes.
KRFY sends her nothing but healing wishes.
But I think it went well, and I think she'll be happier at the end of it all.
Good. It's sort of like a little speed bump in life.
Yeah.
You know, get over it and do your best and pay attention and do what they tell you to do, and then you'll be ready for the holidays.
And keep those retinas attached.
I don't know what detaches a retina.
I don't know either.
Is it genetic or?
I'm sure
there's some. You know, I mean, but you know, like, what do? Wake up one day and it's dangling.
She said she woke up and she saw blackness spreading from in one of her eyes, dark, kind of a black splotch spreading from the inner part, towards her nose, and spreading across her eye, and
That's got to be scary.
Yep.
Got to be scary, scary. Good luck.
Yep.
Mom's
but
Peterson.
I think she's going to be fine.
Good.
Other than, you know, had to cancel all her holiday plans and
her
stuff.
Engagements and whatever. And speaking of an engagement, we've got one tonight at the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, and that's a mouthful. Olivia Fee is here, and Olivia Fee is the curator of a temporary exhibit that opens tomorrow, but tonight is like a peek ahead sort of thing. The exhibit is called Come What May, We Will Play. I like that. So tell us more, Olivia.
Yeah. So it is basically the history of playing. And I will emphasize that there's three different themes to it. So we have nature play, which covers all of the beautiful mountains and, of course, our lakes and rivers and the snow and how people have played in our beautiful Bonner County throughout history. And then we have the imaginative area, which is arts and crafts and making toys, and specifically making toys when you don't have much as far as money or resources. So you make your own and they become extra special. And then we have a social play area, which is how people play together, such as like dances and sports. And then we even have an area for how people have stayed connected and communicated with creativity and playfulness when they had to be separated. So yeah, it's a lot of playing, which is some broad topics, but we really emphasize the specific stories in Bonner County. And that's something special about this exhibit, is you're going to read and even listen to a lot of oral stories that are really cool. And yeah, it's going to be cool.
So what's the background to this exhibit? When did you come up with the idea, and how long have you been working on it and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so it became an idea around a year ago, but we started to really close in on it about 6 months ago. It was Hannah's idea, our director, Hannah Combs.
Yay, Hannah.
And she thought it would be a really good idea to do something after the emergence from the COVID pandemic and the experience that we all had. And so we kind of played around with that, no pun intended. And we came up with playing, because people found so many different creative ways to stay, you know, uplifted through it. And they found a lot of ways to make art and crafts and, of course, to stay in touch with their loved ones and
to stay connected.
Mm-hmm. And then I think a lot of people went outside and did as much stuff outside as possible. And so we also, as we work in a museum, we realize that throughout history, there is many moments that have created hard times or uncertainty, and people have always gotten through it. So we wanted to make a relatable exhibit.
Olivia, remind me when you came on board at the museum.
I don't remember. About 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So that was during the
COVID.
It was right after.
Okay. So you don't know exactly what it was like, but what I was going to ask what the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum did during that.
Yeah, I do know a little bit of what they did. I was back in college in Moscow. I had volunteered previously, so I was still kind of in touch with them. But they did, what was it, portraits or something along those lines?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so they would have a photographer take pictures of families from a distance, families on their porches or in their yard, and we would get their story about how they were passing the time during the pandemic and during quarantine. And so we added that to our collection. So people in the future that are curious about what happened, they can look back on that.
That's interesting. Is that part of this exhibit then too?
No, it's not actually.
That's
but
for future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I guess because everybody will probably remember what they were sharing.
Yes.
Well, before we get into the exhibit per se and what are some of the things, what's happening tonight?
Yeah, so tonight is our preview night. You can buy tickets on our website. They're $30. There will be a wine bar, and it is from 4 to 7, and so you get a little exclusive sneak peek before our opening night.
And the website is, tickets are available at BonnerCountyHistory.org.
Yes.
And that is important. And before we go too far, will this be on the new carpeting from the spill the wine on the old carpet?
Yeah. So that carpet has been removed and we've touched up the concrete that was underneath and given it a nice gloss and it looks really nice in there now.
So do we, is a new carpet going to be installed or has it been?
Nope. We're just going to leave it the concrete.
Perfect, so you can spill more wine on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then wipe it right up.
Yes. Yeah.
There you
mm-hmm.
go. Easy schmeasy.
Yes.
Is it, I guess we should get into the exhibit. I was going to ask if Olivia wanted to explain why Hannah Combs, the executive director, isn't here, and possibly in the most embarrassing way, if you can.
Ooh, we're into shame.
Yeah. Yeah. So last night, I won't embarrass her because she's been working so hard. I did not see it happen, and it happened so fast for her. But we're pretty sure that she was messing with some cords, trying to get them situated and plugged in for a projector that we're going to have. And we think a drill fell off the shelf and it came down on her face. And it caught the bridge of her glasses, which then cut the bridge of her nose. I heard she may need stitches. I have yet to hear how that went this morning, so we'll find out.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Nothing broken, hopefully?
No, nothing broken.
Yeah.
We have more healing karma to send out, not only to Jack's mom, but to Hannah.
Yeah.
May it all go smooth.
Yes.
But before we get too far, tonight is the opening, not the opening night, but a preview night. And then the exhibit opens tomorrow. And do you want to just briefly mention that?
Yeah. So that is also from 4 to 7. And that's free and open to the public.
But
no wine.
Mm-hmm.
No wine on that one.
Yes. So we understand the appeal of going tonight. Plus you get you see it before anybody else.
Yeah.
Neener.
You were saying that the LPO rep is involved somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier we have a nature area of the exhibit, and we thought it would be cool to have a giant tree in the middle of it. One that you can actually go inside. And so we had the LPO rep, specifically Wes Hammond and Mariah and Halea Bell. And they have also brought in, I believe, Wes's husband and more here and there. But they have been working really, really hard, and they have created an amazing tree in the middle of the museum, and I want to say about 2 to 3 people can go and stand in the middle of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know where a tree would fit.
Yes.
That size
I'm intrigued.
You'll have to come find out.
We got to go see it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The outdoor recreation part of it. How has outdoor recreation changed in Bonner County? Like, what were they doing, I don't know, 100 years ago or something, as opposed to today?
You know,
even
throughout the whole exhibit, it hasn't changed that much.
Mm-hmm.
But what really has changed is maybe like the technology, if that's what you can call it.
Mm-hmm.
So sleds have changed from these really detailed, royal racers to just like plastic, I don't know. toboggans now.
Yeah.
But people have been ice skating and even skiing. I don't know, for as far back as you can imagine that people have been here. So the locations may have changed. A lot of people used to go sled on the Dearborn Hill, which I am not exactly sure where that used to be, but it is no longer a hill. I do know that. So things like that has changed, but how people actually had fun as outdoor rec really hasn't.
The Dearborn Hill.
Yes.
Okay. I would think it's still a hill. Maybe it's just not open to the public anymore. Or did they level it?
I think they leveled it
for
it to be a road.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So it just doesn't exist anymore.
Yes. Huh. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I guess I think people have been skiing for hundreds of years.
Yes.
Now,
yeah. Right? Yeah. And then, of course, snowshoeing. We have some old snowshoes and everything. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. We have some homemade fishing flies that are made out of this, like, really cool, just, like, found in your home, junk drawer stuff, and fishing poles. And then, of course, we have stories about people hiking and picking huckleberries. So I think that's the cool thing about this exhibit is realizing, like, how relatable it all still really is.
That one, I guess I'm thinking snowboarding is new.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess motorsports are new.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, anything on a, on wheels with a motor or on water with a motor, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah, everybody's been hiking and doing everything else for a very long time.
Yes.
A walk in the woods.
There we go.
Yeah. We're talking to Olivia Fee, who is the curator and outreach coordinator for the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum.
Well, one of the things that I thought, you know, I spent a little time just now while you, the two of you were discussing outdoor games. I was thinking that with the pandemic, the Wordle game, you know, that got started.
Yeah.
And talk about, you know, that I play it, but I'm not interconnected with Olivia. How many lines did you have to use in order to get the word or Jack? Yeah. You know, I mean, I do it, but I do know of people who, Carrie Logan, our good co-host when I'm not here, she said she has friends in California that she... Like, I got it in three, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, that would be a good example of not only a way to pass time.
Right.
But to connect.
Yeah. And the research, the little research I did on games is actually interesting. It seems like our most popular games that we can think of all were created during some significant event. So Monopoly was a huge one during the Great Depression.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there, one of our volunteers was just telling us about another game that was created around one of the World Wars, and it's still a really popular game. So that was an interesting pattern to kind of see.
Yeah, yeah. You know, if you stop and think with games... You sort of narrow, like with Monopoly, you narrow your world down to a visible playing field, and you can't wander off it like, I'm going to go over here with my houses and build houses over on the on the kitchen counter. You know, that it narrows it, and community.
That is interesting.
Yeah,
never thought about that.
Yeah. It'd be sort of interesting, like with Scrabble. When did Scrabble take off and run, and other games that have remained popular?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you finding anything in the, I guess in the, this is a weird question, but any old games that you, like any old games or activities that you kind of learned about and started to, you know, play, or that you think are still fun that maybe have been forgotten?
In a way. I mean,
or activities or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess as far as games and activities, I actually learned a lot of new games that I haven't heard of, and I have yet to look up what they're like. It does seem like a lot of games I have played, but maybe they had a different name back then. So, like, I think I played, is it Red Rover?
Red Rover.
When I was young. Yeah. And it had a slightly different name back in the day. And so I used to play some of these games that I didn't realize were coming from a different name. But I think overall, the exhibit is going to, whether you're a kid or adult, inspire you to play again like you used to as a kid. Yeah. And that was a huge inspiration for this exhibit that we want people to take away from. So whether it's dancing in the middle of the living room or getting back to going sledding, I think it's all inspiring.
Did you used to, Jack, growing up, play a lot of, I can remember during the summer playing outdoor games like Mother May I?
Yeah.
Do you remember Mother May? You know, that was sort of like a dorky game, you know, somebody turns their back and you say, and you say, Jack, take five baby steps or something like that. But but you could take massive ones. But if the person turned around and caught you, you had
big
to go
trouble.
Back. And we used to play statue, where you used to whirl people around and get them dizzy and then let go of them, and they had to hold that pose. And if they didn't, you did something to them. I don't
think
know
I
what.
Played that one.
I remember games like that.
Red light, green light.
Red light, green light. And then we had another one where it was about the size of a volleyball. We would throw it up in the air, and I'd say the name like Olivia, and we'd all run. But Olivia would have to get the ball, and then everybody had to stop the moment she had the ball, and then she tried to hit somebody with the ball, and that was the next person to throw the ball and say, Jack! And then, you know, and then, And we would do that afternoon, hopscotch.
Yeah.
I remember playing Kick the Can, but I don't even remember the rules of that, other than somebody...
Kick the Can.
Somebody is... somebody has to guard the can, and everybody else is trying to knock it over. Or maybe there's a team that guards it and the other team, and they can tag you.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
There's like an offense and defense element to it, I think.
I used to go to Studebaker Park in Southern Indiana, where there'd be a lot of kids going during the... And we would play one game where you'd form a circle, and somebody was it, like I'd walk around the circle and I'd tap like Olivia. And then and Olivia has to catch me.
Duck Goose? Is that the same thing?
It sounds exactly like that, except for you would adds a spoken word element to it. And growing up in Minnesota, we called it Duck Gray Duck, which is the correct way of playing the game.
But wonderful times, you know, in terms of, you know, we didn't have video games. We weren't indoors. Just, you know, not to say that that was better then. It was different then.
I remember, like, playing all afternoon, and then the sun goes down, and you could then you have new games. You can play games where somebody goes and, well, you could play like sardines or something like that. And you can go scaring people.
How about jumping rope? You know, where you'd have a certain chant or whatever, and you'd hop in, and then you'd have to hop out at a certain point and the next person in. We used to do that if we could find enough clothesline. You know, our parents, or particularly our mothers, where did that clothesline go to? We have appropriated it for another reason.
Jim,
yes,
playing on the playground as a boy, did you ever play like don't touch the ground type games or hot lava where you have to stay on the equipment? You cannot go down on the ground. Of course, you may not have had the kind of elaborate, you know, park structure that we have today.
I remember we had swings, but I don't think we had any other playground equipment when I was, you know, we're talking early.
Yeah, a while ago.
But I remember swings, but I don't remember like a gym sort of construction thing or anything like that. Tell me more about your games.
Well, I was just wondering when people started, I guess not until you had like playgrounds, like elevated play structures and stuff like that, that create their own games sort of, that, which I don't think they were intended to by the designers of them, but like, I imagine as soon as they appeared, kids were playing, okay, we'll play tag, but you can't touch the ground. You have to stay on the equipment and, you know, and then people are climbing up in dangerous ways where they're not supposed to.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah. I don't remember playing that on the playground, but I played it at my house on my mom's couch and pillows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it was raining, when it was raining outside, it was, we're here with Olivia Fee and we're sort of like indirectly talking about come what may, we will play an exhibit at the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. Let's take a music break and then we'll come back and talk more, repeat about tonight and tomorrow night, and talk more about winter storytelling with our local tribes and things like that.
I'll get the phone.
You get the phone. You hit. We're going to play a song that was released on this date. And let me see if I can find it. In 1963, won by the Portland, Oregon Kingsmen, Louie Louie. That is Louie Louie by the Kingsmen, a rather controversial song. Came out on this date in 1963, and I think that was their only peach in the basket. I can't think of another Kingsmen song.
Now, you said they were from Portland, Oregon?
Yes.
And it was controversial. Why?
Well, because I grew up in Indiana, and that's where I was. And the governor of Indiana banned that song because of the lyrics. And the FBI investigated it because of, you know, the airwaves and it being played on the radio. Mm-hmm. And part of the difficulty was the lead singer's garble did not enunciate.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you could, I mean, I have a absolutely wonderful version of it that I can't see on the air of it. And it was investigated in the FBI and a lot of kerfuffle about nothing. Great fun and a great Animal House song.
That's right. The lyrics aren't they, I thought they were pretty tame, but you just can't understand them.
You just
he might be saying anything.
And boy, can I. I mean, I was a freshman at the university at that time, and boy, what we did with those words. Because they. But we're not going to go there. But we're here with Olivia Fee, curator and outreach coordinator for the Bonner County Historical Society Museum. And tonight at the museum, that is Thursday, November the 9th, from 4 to 7, is the preview of Come What May, We Will Play. From 4 to 7, there's going to be a wine bar, and there is a cost.
$30.
Okay, and you can get tickets ahead of time available at bonnercountyhistory.org. And one of the items here, it says that the fish made by Kim Bailey of Wild Peas Handcrafts. Tell us more about the fish.
Yeah, so we have a little fishing display area, and so we wanted to create a little activity. So we have a kind of like a pond or a little lake area, however you want to look at it. And we have these little fishing poles that have magnets at the end of them. So we asked Kim Bailey to make us some fish that also have magnets in them.
Oh, cool.
And so the kids can take those fishing poles and do their own little quote-unquote fishing. But we just got the fish yesterday, and they are so cute and beautiful. She made all different kinds, like the rainbow trout. And
oh, how neat. And are they identified and labeled?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So I think we're just as excited for it as any little kid is going to be. They're super cute.
So, but tomorrow is when the exhibit from 4 to 7 is open. That's the opening night, and it's free and open to the public, and there'll be no wine. Bring your kids.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We have a few interactives for kids, including that we have a doll making station, so you can make your own doll out of resourceful scraps like they did back in the Great Depression. We have some interactives for kids to take home as well.
Excellent, excellent. And how long is this exhibit going to run through?
About 2 years.
Wow.
Yes.
And what are the usual hours of the museum?
Oh, yeah. Tuesday through Friday from... let's see, 10 to 4. We do have free first Saturdays. So the first Saturday of every month is from 10 to 4, and it is free to the public.
And the address of the museum is 611 South Ella Avenue.
Yes.
And how does one find it?
Oh, don't ask me to give directions, if you can navigate your way to Lakeview Park, you'll find it.
And next to the caboose.
Yes, look for the big caboose.
Look for the big caboose. Okay, tell us more about it. There's a prompt here that says, winter storytelling with our local tribes.
Yeah, so we wanted to also talk about storytelling, so we have a little display area. And I mean, that is such a huge part of history. That's how we still have continued our history. And for every culture, storytelling and passing it down is really important. And of course, not only important, but it's just fun. So we wanted to incorporate that. And we've been in communication with the tribes, the Kalispel for now. I'm hoping... I have a meeting with the Kootenai here soon, but the Kalispel have talked about bringing in recordings of some of their stories, and that's really interesting and such an honor. And so those will be played in the storytelling area, which is the little, if you've ever been to the museum, the little hallway in front of the bathrooms.
Right.
And we have like a night sky projector. We have a little faux campfire and a big wall tent type thing. So it's really amazing.
Sounds like something James would be interested in, Jack.
That's pretty cool. Yes, I think he would.
James would be. And now, this is going to run for 2 years. Will there be additions? You mentioned you have one tribe and the possibility of another tribe. So this will be adding on and...
we're hoping. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they have the time, they're super busy as well. So if they have the time and that's something they want to do, then that would be awesome. So around this winter time, we'll be getting in touch with the Kalispel, and they've talked about possible even like coyote stories and creation stories. So yeah, that would be such an honor and so cool. We're really hoping that happens.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention the sponsors.
Yes.
And do you want to take that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We got our grant from Inovia, the Equinox Foundation. And they gave us a really amazing grant that has allowed us to do all of this really cool stuff and amazing interactives. And then also the Paint Bucket has sponsored all of our paint supplies, which is really, really awesome and helpful.
So a shout out both to the Equinox Foundation and the Miller Paint Bucket. And I'm quite sure that you had help putting this exhibit together. So, I'm sure that like many 501c3 organizations without volunteers... and I don't know if you want to venture into thanking them by name, because oftentimes you might not.
Yeah, so I'll start by with thanking Dave Brooks. He has been with us just about every day, all day, helping us install everything. He is really handy, and he's even been teaching us how to do certain things. Like, I've learned how to secure things when I can't get it into a stud versus just drywall and everything. And he's been really awesome with doing it himself and also teaching us a few things.
About how to handle a drill?
Yeah, stuff like that.
I'm sorry, Hannah, that was at your expense.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's one of many, many, many volunteers that have come in and helped us do both big and little things, all being just as important and just as helpful. So, yeah, we are super grateful for that.
Okay. Have we not covered everything, or is there something more we should cover with the exhibit that...
We could talk about it for hours, but I think you should just come and experience it for yourself.
And I think it's a good thing for grandparents and aunts and uncles to give parents a break and maybe take children and young adults there and discover. I'm sure James will be on the, that thing about looking at the sky and listening to in a campfire and a tent.
I think that could be very cool.
Cool.
He would like that, yeah. We'll be by to check that out, I'm sure, pretty soon.
Okay.
I asked you while we were off the, or during our, during Louie Louie, I asked you a tricky question that I think you may have come up with an answer for. So the question is, did you find any games or activities that just you were baffled by, or you can't believe anybody ever played this and had fun and have gone the way of the dodo?
Yeah. So in a way I can believe this because I mean, kids are kids, but, it was pretty crazy. I read several stories that teenagers would pull pranks on their neighbors by disassembling some of their farm equipment, such as a wagon or a tractor, and then reassembling it on the roof of their barn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard of that. Or were you? Yeah. I didn't know that that's how it was done. I mean, that's, of course, I guess, how it would be done. But you hear about the... getting the tractor or something on top of the roof.
Which they go, you know, at night and do it. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that's a lot of energy and effort for a prank, but it's a pretty crazy prank.
Mm-hmm. Well, it speaks to the quality that some children have about being mischievous. And I love that word. When I would be accused of being mischievous, I would wear it like a mantle.
I think people will given enough time, and especially if you get a few people together, you start to think about these things.
We
took all night. We could really
Does your family have a Phillips screwdriver? what we could get into? What fun!
I used to do, or we used to make snowmen and put them on on top of somebody's car or something like that, so that when they came outside to go drive somewhere, they had to move a whole complete snowman to get there, and that you could do. You could do it very quickly if you put the balls in the bed of a pickup truck. Like, make it off-site. And then you just show up quickly, put it together, stick a carrot and a little coal in it, and then drive away.
Yeah.
And then someone's like, I was only in the store for 10 minutes. How did this happen?
Okay, this sounds like something. Do you remember Calvin and Hobbes? Calvin used to do a lot with snowmen. Yeah. You know, when he was just unhappy with his parents, he would do...
grotesque.
Yes, grotesque things. Yeah, great fun. Great fun. Well, one more time, let's go over the details, Olivia. Tonight, What's on? What's happening?
Tonight is preview night. Tickets are $30, and they're available on our website at bonnercountyhistory.org. There will be a wine bar. It will be a smaller crowd, so you have more of a chance to chat with us, the staff, and ask questions and just have more room to look around. And, of course, there will be wine. And then tomorrow night is our official opening, which is free and open to the public. And both of these events are from 4 to 7.
Excellent. And we say to, in a play, break a leg.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've almost broken a nose, so.
I was going to say, drop a drill.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And maybe in a little while, maybe a year from now, come back and let's talk more about how it's been after a year and what the year is ahead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Olivia, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good to see you as you head out into the fog.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On this date, we're going to take a music break, and then Jack and I will come back and talk about some community events. On this date, this song was released, probably one of his most memorable songs, Billy Joel, the song Piano Man.
Next to me, making love to his tonic and gin.